to turn to the book of John, chapter 13. Book of John, chapter 13, very familiar passage of Scripture. One that is often misapplied. But John 13, we'll read the first 17 verses. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, speaking of the cross, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought to also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do even that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If thou knowest these things, happy are ye if ye do them. And what we read here through chapter 14, verse 31, because in chapter 14, 31, we see the last words, arise, let us go hence. So what we read here through chapter 14, verse 31, takes place in a large upper room of a divinely chosen house that had already been prepared for the Passover. We read of that in Luke chapter 22. Verses 8 through verse 14. So they're sitting at this table, or really reclined at a table. And we read in verses 4 and 5 that Jesus did something that was absolutely remarkable, something that would be very stunning to the apostles, and almost unbelievable to their eyes. He rises from the table and he washes their feet as a servant. And in doing so, he paints a picture. What he did, he calls them to imitate in verses 12 through 16. And he tells them this is, in imitating this, what he's just drawn a picture of. He tells them this is where true happiness is found. Verse 17. Jesus, by his actions, by washing the disciples' feet, was instructing them concerning humble service. That's not what we want to emphasize tonight. We read in verse 6, "Then cometh he to Simon Peter." So, in verse 5, he began to wash their feet, and he had probably washed the feet of a few, and then he came to Simon Peter. And as he was about to wash the feet of Peter, Peter said unto him, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" No doubt those words are spoken in a tone of astonishment that Christ would do such a thing. Peter was taken aback at the very thought that Jesus, with his own hands, would wash the feet of a sinful man such as himself. This initiated a conversation between Christ and Peter in the hearing of all that were there, the 12. We see this conversation took place in verses 7 through verse 10. And from this conversation, Jesus had already instructed them by the act concerning true service, being a humble servant. But in this conversation, he was instructing them and us of the absolute necessity, of an absolute necessity in the life of every child of God. We want to take our main thought from what Jesus said in verse 10. Jesus said to him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet." He that is washed, or he that is bathed, needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. I want to speak this evening on bathed, but still need to wash. Bathed, but still need to wash. We see, first of all, that Christ, in these verses, and we've pointed this out in the past, but in these verses, he speaks of a twofold cleansing. Verse 10 again. Jesus saith unto him, that is Peter, "He that is washed." He uses the Greek word luo, and it means to bathe. So what he is saying is, he that is bathed. Speaks of a bath, where you wash all over. It has reference to the cleansing that took place at salvation. It is referred to, if you keep a mark there and turn to Titus chapter 3, in verse 5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing," and it's the same word there, luo, "of regeneration," the bathing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. The last part of that verse, speaking unto Jesus, unto him that loved us and washed, luo, bathed us from our sins in his own blood. This bathing took place, again, at salvation. It's what we spoke upon this morning, that fountain. In this bathing, we were set free from the guilt that was upon us. Now we're justified. We were set free from the eternal condemnation that hung over us. In this bathing, we were set free from the dominion of sin. In this bathing, there is a discharge, a cancellation, if you will, of the sin debt. Our sin debt was canceled. Canceled by the blood of Jesus Christ. Every sin we would ever commit in our life was canceled as a sin debt. As a debt, Christ paid for it. Notice in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 12 to verse 14. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. This also took place in this bathing. We were made fit to be partakers of an inheritance. There is nothing that we can do once that we have been bathed in the blood of Christ that would cause us to lose this inheritance. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power or from the dominion of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Again, this took place at this bathing at salvation, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, in whom, referring back to his dear Son, Jesus Christ, we have redemption. We have redemption through his blood. It's not just through blood, it's through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. All that took place at the bathing, at salvation. In this bathing, we were granted a full pardon. It was perfect. Hebrews 10 and verse 4 says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And the word sanctified there has the root meaning of set apart. They were perfected forever. That is, this offering was perfect. Jesus in our text, John 13, went on to say concerning this one that is washed, that he is clean every whit. He's clean all over. That is, as far as the guilt, as far as the condemnation, as far as the debt of sin, it's all been taken away. It's all been taken away. We notice in Psalm 32, this is spoken of. This takes place again at the bathing. bathed in the blood of Jesus Christ at salvation. Psalm 32, verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven or taken away. How is it taken away? We still sin, so it wasn't taken away in that way. But it is taken away as far as guilt is concerned, as far as condemnation is concerned, as far as debt is concerned. So the guilt, the condemnation, and the debt has been forgiven. It's taken away. Whose sin is covered. That is, it's out of sight. Again, referring to the guilt, the condemnation, and the debt. He no longer sees it. He no longer sees it as condemning to us. Romans 8, verse 1 makes that plain. Verse 2, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not. That is, he does not place it to their account. Why? Because it was placed to the account of Jesus Christ. It's not placed to our account. Imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. We also read in Romans 4 and verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin, will not put it to his account. All this takes place in that bathing. Takes place at salvation. And it is complete. It is permanent. It is irreversible. If that is not so, then of course you cannot believe in eternal security. We also notice in our text, he that is washed needeth not, he that is bathed needeth not. That is, this bathing never needs to be repeated. The salvation experience never needs to be repeated. Never. The words, he that is washed, there in verse 10, speak of an immeasurable blessing. And oh, how we ought to thank God, you and I that are saved, for including us in those words, he that is washed. He that is bathed. Those words, by the way, he that is washed, is our passive voice, meaning we did not bathe ourselves, meaning that the subject, you and I that are washed, is being acted upon by an outside force or power. We are the recipient, not the doer of the action. No man can wash, bathe himself in this way. That is an act of God. Therefore, the words, he that is washed, speaks of the amazing grace of God. So in verse 10, he that is washed. But then notice what he said at the end of the verse. Well, he said, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean. Talking to Peter. Talking to the ones that are, referring to the ones that are in that room, but he makes an exception. But not all. But not all. And he's referring from the next verse. That phrase, but not all, is referring to Judas Iscariot. For he knew. Ye are clean, but not all. Ye are bathed, but not all of you have been bathed. To put that in plain English, not all of you hear what Jesus is saying is saved. He's speaking of Judas Iscariot, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. Ye, pointing to the 12, are not all clean. You have not all been made clean by this bathing. What if there's someone there that was not bathed in the blood of Christ? So he's speaking of Judas. And what he said, but he that is washed, bathed, is something that every sinner has. Every saved sinner has experienced. And what every unsaved sinner desperately needs, to be bathed. To be bathed. Again, he that is washed, he that is bathed. He's speaking of an initial, a foundational cleansing. This individual needeth not save except to wash his feet. He's clean, but he still needs to have his feet washed. And here Jesus is speaking of another cleansing. A cleansing of a different kind. He's not speaking of a bathing. And what Jesus is speaking of here is what he illustrates by washing their feet. Now it's interesting, when Jesus says wash here, he uses the Greek word nipto, meaning to wash part of the body. When he said there in verse 10, he that is washed, he that is bathed, luo, that's a washing of the entire body. But now he goes on and speaks of another kind of washing, nipto. And he uses the word in verse 5. He began to wash the disciples' feet. Again, the word wash here speaks of a part of the body. And every time he uses the word here in John chapter 13, he uses it in reference to the feet. Verse 6, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Just talking about a particular part of the body. Verse 8, he says again, wash my feet. Verse 12, so after he had washed nipto, their feet. Not talking about a bathing. Just like you and I go wash our hands. You take a bath in the morning or a shower, you still got to wash your hands. Still need to cleanse your hands or your feet. Verse 14, again, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. So every time he uses the word nipto, speaking of washing a part of the body, is in reference to feet. So it's salvation. We are bathed in the blood of Christ. That is, an initial cleansing took place. But we still sin, and we still need to be washed. Not in the sense that we need to be set free from condemnation. That took place in the bathing. Not in the sense that we need to be set free from the debt or the dominion of sin. That all took place in the bathing. But we still need to wash to counteract the filth of the world. And this is what Jesus is illustrating. Now notice the necessity of this cleansing. He presents the necessity in verse 10, he that is washed, bathed, needeth not save. Our word would be except, to wash his feet. In other words, after one has been bathed, things happen where you still need to wash. You still need to wash. Again, in Bible days, people wore sandals. As a result, their feet were exposed to dirt everywhere they went. Foot washing, therefore, was a necessity to deal with the filth, the dirt, that they were exposed to. For you and I, like the dirt and sand and everything else that their feet came into contact with, we come into contact with sin on a daily basis. On a daily basis. And sin has a defiling nature. It can and it will mar and taint and infect and poison the individual. It is harmful. It is destructive. And because it continues to increase and multiply, cleansing becomes a necessity if we are going to live the life that we are called to live. Again, in Bible days, their feet were always exposed to dirt. The individual could not go through a day without the feet becoming dirty in some way. They could not go through a day without needing to wash their feet. And so, with you and I, we are constantly exposed to the filth of the world. We cannot, due to their own sinful flesh within us, even if you stay in the house, stay in bed all day, because of the sinful flesh that dwells within you, you cannot get through a day without picking up some dirt. It's not possible. You cannot get through a day without being spotted by the world. We read in James 1 and verse 27, pure religion undefiled before God is this: keep him, that a man would keep himself unspotted from the world. That's our responsibility, to keep ourselves unspotted. Again, you don't have to run through the mud puddle to get spotted by mud. All you have to do is be near the mud puddle when someone else runs through it, and you become spotted. We become spotted so easily. We see something, we didn't intend on seeing it, we didn't see it on purpose, we didn't plan on seeing it, but we saw it, and it was defiling. We've become spotted. You say, well, I didn't mean to. Well, you're still spotted. That's my point. You're still spotted. You can't get through the day. You hear something. You didn't intentionally hear it, but you heard it. And what you heard was defiling. You're spotted. So we can't get through the day without the dust of the world settling upon us in some way. In Numbers 19, we're not going to turn there, but the law of uncleanness is illustrated. There's several examples given. And you can read that, but what you see is that no matter what the day, no matter where they were, whether they were in their tent, which would be our house, or whether they were walking alongside the road, you and I driving our car, or whether they were out in the field, they were always in danger of becoming unclean. Because all they had to do was come into contact with a dead body, with a bone, be in a tent when someone died, and everything in the tent that was open was unclean. The principle is they were always in danger of becoming contaminated. And so it is with you and I. Jesus Christ is the only one who walked this world unstained. He's the only one who walked this world uncontaminated. He left this world unstained. He left this world uncontaminated. He's the only one. And there'll be no one else. But for you and I, we can't get through the day unstained. We can't get through the day uncontaminated. Because of this constant contact with sin, whether we sin intentionally or whether we sin unintentionally. And may I say that to sin intentionally is a greater degree of sinning unintentionally, but that's not the point. Whether we sin intentionally or unintentionally, we are defiled. And that way, it doesn't matter. We are defiled. So we stand in need of daily cleansing. The psalmist prayed in Psalm 19 and verse 2, "Cleanse thou me from secret faults." From secret faults. Now, you can take secret faults in two ways, and I believe both are accurate. Secret, meaning I'm the only one that knows about it, no one else knows. Secret can also mean I don't even know about it. Sins of ignorance. Application can go both ways. The cleansing that we need is illustrated by Jesus washing the feet of the apostles. Jesus washing their feet, what was he doing? When Jesus went to that first one, whoever it was, and got down and picked up that foot and wiped the dirt off and took the water in that basin and began to wash the feet, that foot, and then he took the towel and dried those feet, what was he doing? He was personally ministering to them. He was personally ministering to them. And make no mistake about it, we need to be ministered to by him on a daily and continual basis. That is an absolute necessity. Now Jesus revealed the necessity of such cleansing in verse 8. Peter said unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." You're not going to wash my feet. Now Peter's intention was good. He could not imagine Jesus Christ washing his feet. Without the initial bathing, we're unsafe. You have to have the initial bathing. Without the initial bathing, there is absolutely no relationship with God. We read in Ephesians 2 and verse 12, without Christ and without God. That's us before the initial bathing. But we that have been bathed, the dirt has a way of settling upon us. And unless we are washed from such fellowship, is broken with Christ. Doesn't mean we become unsaved. Doesn't mean that we come under condemnation, because there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Doesn't mean that we need to be saved all over. But there has been fellowship has been broken. Again, hear the words of Christ to Peter. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now, that sounds pretty serious. Peter says, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I wash thee not, in this way, referring to washing his feet, thou hast no part with me. What he's saying is, unless we are washed from daily defilement, there is a divide between us and Christ. Doesn't mean we're lost. Doesn't mean we've lost our salvation. But there is a divide between us and Christ. Never overlook this matter. Sin creates a distance between us and God. Talking to the saved. Micah 3 verse 4 says, he will hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. And God will hide his face from them. Doesn't mean that God completely forsakes them. What it means is there is a distance has been created between his people and himself. Sin, of course, is a great hindrance to prayer. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, I've heard people read that verse incorrectly. If there's iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. Well, I got news for you. There's no use praying then, because there's never a time there isn't iniquity in our heart. But it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart. That is, we know it's there, and we choose to ignore it. The Lord will not hear us. There's been a divide. Sin brings destruction to our lives. Isaiah 64, verse 7. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. So Christ says to Peter, if I wash thee not, in the context of washing his feet, thou hast no part with me. Sin breaks fellowship with the Lord. Sin detracts from our experience of the Lord. And sin spoils our enjoyment of the Lord. Notice all of those things are covered. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. In other words, the problem's not with God. Neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, and he's talking to his people, have separated between you and your God. There's a divide because of iniquity. And your sins have hid his face from you. There's a distance. that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood. And he goes on and gets more specific with their sins. Without this washing, a barrier is created between us and the Lord. What Jesus is illustrating by washing the apostles' feet is what John spoke of in 1 John chapter 1, if we turn there, verses 7 through 9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive. This isn't talking to lost people. It's talking to saved people. It's talking in the context of fellowship with God. He shall forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is what Jesus is illustrating in John chapter 13. This is what Jesus is telling Peter. Peter, if you want to have fellowship with me, you have got to let me wash your feet. He's not talking about being bathed all over again. He's talking about washing his feet. Christ was ministering to them. And oh, how we need his ministering to us. But Peter was not going to submit to Christ taking his feet and washing them. As Christ approached Peter, you can almost envision Peter pulling back his foot and saying, "Oh no, you're not going to wash my feet." And again, Peter was humbled at the thought. But Peter was not submitting to Christ ministering to him. And Jesus, I believe, very compassionately said, "Peter, if I wash thee not, if I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me." That is, fellowship is broken. Now think of Peter for a minute. Peter was a man. I mean, Peter had a lot of problems, no question. But Peter had a lot of good qualities. And no one can question the fact that Peter loved the Lord. No one can question that he had great admiration for Jesus Christ. But he still needed his feet washed. Still needed his feet washed. Peter had performed distinguished service for the Lord. He did some things that others did not. But guess what? He still needed his feet washed. Still needed his feet washed. Peter had received, as all the apostles, in-depth instruction from Christ himself. But he still needed his feet washed. Peter had done the miraculous. He walked on water. But he still needed his feet washed. You see, we learn from this that love and admiration for the Lord does not replace our daily need of cleansing. You can say, "Well, but I love the Lord." And that may very well be. But you still need cleansing. Distinguished service of the Lord will not replace this daily need of cleansing. Much instruction and much learning will not replace this daily need of cleansing. Doing marvelous things will not replace this daily need of cleansing. You see, without this cleansing, you and I become greatly hindered in the Lord's work. Without this cleansing, we suffer loss. Without this cleansing, we put ourselves in even greater danger. I mean, you go weeks without washing your feet. You have put yourself at risk for all kinds of stuff. And you expose others to your infection. If you don't wash your feet, they begin to stink. And I'm not trying to be funny. And that may have an effect on anybody you got sitting there. Stinky feet. And if we don't receive this daily cleansing from the dirt of the world, we're going to stink after a while. We're going to stink. And others will be affected. Without cleansing, we can even become unusable. That is, God will not use us. If we continually draw back our feet, no, you're not going to wash my feet. You do that long enough, you ignore sin long enough in your life, God is long-suffering, but you can become unusable. Not that he can't use you, but he won't. Notice the response of Peter, and we'll close in verse 9. John 13, verse 9. After Jesus said, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me," Simon Peter saith unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And that's when Jesus said in verse 10, "He that is bathed needeth not to bathe again, except his feet." Feet speak of our walk. Speaks of our life. And that needs to be cleansed every single day. So Peter's response was, "Not my feet only." That is, "Lord, here they are. Wash both of them. And Lord, here's my hands. And here's my head." Peter wanted to be cleansed. And that ought to be the desire of every child of God. We're not talking about a bathing. We don't need that anymore. We're talking about a cleansing from the filth that comes upon us every single day. And is this cleansing that we find victory? Notice, and we'll notice in Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4. Again, this is not talking about the unsaved. "Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord?" That sounds like victory. To ascend to the hill of the Lord. "Who shall stand in his holy place?" That's something special. "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." Being cleansed every single day, there's victory there. There's victory. When you and I submit our feet unto the ministering hands of Jesus Christ, when we submit ourselves that have been spotted by the world, we submit ourselves unto the ministering hands of Jesus Christ, there's victory there. There's blessing there. If we don't do that, there's this barrier that is created. And once again, we've said it a million times, the most miserable people in the world are not the unsaved because they're ignorant. They don't know what they're headed for. The most miserable people in the world are those who know, have some idea of what this book says. And they know what their life ought to be. But they let themselves become spotted by the world. They do nothing about it. And they hear all of these promises and how wonderful it can be. Why not me? You want to talk about misery? That's why God's people are some of the most miserable people on the planet. Because they refuse to submit to the ministering hands of Jesus Christ. Christ could take our feet if He wanted to, and He could break them. He could break every toe. He could break every bone. But we submit our feet to Christ, knowing that's not what He's going to do. He's going to wipe the dirt off. He's going to take the water. He's going to wash them. He's going to take that towel, and He's going to dry them. Oh, that's something that we ought to submit to every single day of our lives. The ministering hands of Jesus Christ. Psalm 51 and 12, the psalmist in Psalm 51, of course, is repenting. He said in verse 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." I'm telling you tonight that there is joy in putting your feet, your dirty feet, into the hands of Jesus Christ and Him washing them. All the joy. All the joy when Christ wipes the dirt away. All that dirt that gets in the way between us and Him. And Christ, who could break those feet, instead gently takes them and wipes the dirt off. What a God we have. We ought to submissively present our feet to Jesus Christ for daily cleansing. We'd be better able to serve God if our feet were cleansed every day. The truth is, they need to be cleansed several times. The truth is, we're driving our car or walking down the road or whatever we do, and the spots of the world get on us. We need to stop right then and say, "Here they are, Lord. Here they are. Wash me. Wash me right now." Because if you're not washed right then, the dirt just begins to add up. Just begins to add up. As soon as we feel ourselves spotted, all that we would learn. As soon as we feel that I've been spotted by the world, my mind has been spotted by whatever it is, as soon as we feel that we go to Him for cleansing, we'd be much better able to serve the Lord. We'd be much happier. We'd have a greater relationship with Jesus Christ. So all that we would never withdraw our feet, withdraw our life from His ministering hands, because we need it every single day. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.